Hi, everyone. Good morning and welcome to Two Off the First for September 1st, 2022. Great to have you here with us today. As the name implies, we have our top two stories in golf today. We'll talk about in about 15 to 20 minutes. I know we said 10 to 15 minutes, but kind of get away from ourselves sometimes. So let's just say 15 to 20 minutes. And we'll cover those two stories with a little bit of analysis, some humor, a whole lot of fun, and get you out the door and on the way with the rest of your day. So obviously, LIV has dominated the headlines. It's probably going to dominate the headlines for a while. Although we've got a lot of stuff this week. We've got the Dana Open on the LPGA Tour. We've got the Made in Himmerland in Denmark on the DP World Tour. And perhaps the headliner of the week outside of LIV, or maybe even including LIV, is the Korn Ferry Tour Championship in Indiana, Victoria National Golf Club. But we obviously have a lot more fodder from LIV and LIV-related materials. And thank you to Gary Player for giving us just a whole lot of kindling to throw on the fire, or to start another fire, I suppose, bigger bonfire, because he really went after it yesterday on BBC Radio. And shout out to Joel Beal from Golf Digest for tweeting this out, otherwise I may not have seen it. But, I mean, Mr. Player really went for it, which is kind of interesting for a variety of reasons. The first is he's a Golf Saudi ambassador. So he's on the Saudi payroll. He's going after fellow Saudi payrollees, albeit through LIV, not through Golf Saudi. And second, he came out earlier in the year kind of in support of some of these players that might be choosing to go to LIV before they went to LIV. And now that they've gone to LIV, he ain't having any of it. So he, again, speaking on BBC Radio in an interview that was transcribed, and he says he wouldn't take $1 billion for his 9 major championship wins, which I don't know that I would believe that, but okay, that's the sentiment that we're starting with. He wouldn't take money over majors for anything in the world, which, I again, with where LIV is, I don't know that's an apt comparison, because Cam Smith is probably going to play in all the majors for at least the next 5 years, and obviously he's going to play in the Open Championship until he's 60. So if you've already won your major, you're probably going to play in that major for a long time to come, unless it was the U.S. Open. And then in that case, you're kind of SOL after 10 years. But if you won one of the other majors, you pretty much have a lifetime exemption or a lifetime invitation, pending what they might do come the end of the year. There's been rumors that Augusta National may not welcome back their former champions, but that would potentially dilute their product, since a lot of their former champions in recent memory have now gone to LIV. All that said, that's the starting point for Gary Player. I wouldn't take all the money in the world, basically, to give up what my history or my place in history in golf is through 9 major championship wins. Okay, that's cool. So then he kind of starts getting in on who would make these moves and why would they make these moves. And he slams the concept of LIV. He says he doesn't understand why you would want to play an event that has 54 holes and no cut. He says, quote, "the team event no one understands." Which, I mean, I don't know about that, but it is kind of superfluous. But again, kind of slamming the format. And then he says, which I think is the kind of big takeaway line here without naming a name. He says, quote, "it's a tour for people who don't have confidence in their future." And that's something I've said to other people privately, and I will happily say it publicly. Again, we talked about this yesterday. You kind of understand why people take the money. But the big reason why you understand people take the money is there's doubt in golf. There's no sure things in golf. There's never been certainty in golf where you can say, okay, if I have a bad year, I'm still going to make a lot of money. Unless you're a really popular player with great endorsement deals. Otherwise, you earned it all inside the ropes. Well, now that's not necessarily the case for these guys. And whether that's a performance benefit that you get up front and you keep, or whether it's something you're earning against in the future, and we're still not entirely clear on whether you are actually earning money playing LIV events or you're earning against in advance. But either way, you have a degree of certainty you've never had before. And that means you don't have to worry about the uncertainty of professional golf, which obviously has its ups and downs. And there are very few people in the history of professional golf who have ever made it about 20 years without a significant portion of uncertainty. So Gary Player is saying, look, if you don't believe in yourself, I totally get why you take the money, because you don't think you can do it. You don't think you can do it in the long term. And I think that is probably the the deepest cutting slam of it all is, okay, I get why you took the money. You just don't believe you're good enough. And then he starts to go into specific players. And he's really trying to kind of talk about Cam Smith. But then he just absolutely torches Henrik Stenson just on like a drive-by. And he says, he goes after Cam Smith and he says, his advisors have given him wrong advice. He wonders about his potential future. But then he just kind of comes in and steers it in and goes, he says Stenson, quote, had no money, so he had to go. Stenson was just standing there. He wasn't even doing anything. And he just got absolutely smoked by Mr. Player. And just for context, because a couple of people asked me about this yesterday, the Stenson comment does have some basis in reality, although I'm not sure how much basis it has now. So about, you know, the 2008, 2009, 2010 range, Henrik Stenson lost pretty much everything he had in the Alan Stanford Ponzi scheme. You can look that up. Alan Stanford was a sponsor on the PGA Tour of a bunch of guys. He was Stanford Financial, had a tournament. All of a sudden, turns out Ponzi scheme, money gone, he's in jail, it's all been spent. Whole bunch of players, including Stenson, were taken for a ride, along with a whole bunch of other people. So he basically had nothing. Now, since then, obviously, a whole lot of good things have happened for Stenson. He won the Open Championship. That obviously was a big thing for his career. He did wind up getting a FedEx Cup. So he's recouped, I think, some of that money, if not all of that money, over the subsequent years. But nevertheless, he probably doesn't have nearly as much money as it seemed. And so, you know, believe it or not, most golfers wind up going broke at the end. Because it's really hard to live your life traveling and making money during tournaments and doing exhibitions and all that stuff. And then one day the spigot goes off and you really don't have a whole lot of earning power. And you almost think with modern professional golf, you have enough money to make it through the rest of your life. And in a lot of cases, you don't. Arnold Palmer was a noted exception. Gary Player's done okay. But, I mean, you know the issues surrounding his family and selling his memorabilia and artifacts and trying to pay large tax bills in South Africa and all these different types of things. So on one hand, you go, why did he throw Henrik Stenson in there? And on the other hand, that's because this is a common thing. But in particular for Stenson, this was a sensitive subject. And I haven't heard any answer from Stenson. I don't think we're going to. But Player all of a sudden is on the side of the PGA Tour, even as a Golf Saudi logo wearing guy. And I'm very curious where all of this kind of goes. Because now you've obviously got Jack Nicklaus, who was offered reportedly some kind of role with LIV and turned it down, even though he entertained the idea pretty seriously. Who knows if the same thing happened with Gary Player, whether he was offered any kind of role or ambassador type deal and turned that down. And now you've got this situation where you've got this wave of players that have left. They're pretty much the players you're going to have for the next couple of years on this circuit, and the line of demarcation has been drawn. I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot of gray area at this point. I mean, I'm sure there are among some of the players who aren't as vocal, maybe some of the players who aren't likely to be recruited by LIV or have never been recruited by LIV, but at least in the most vocal upper echelon players of the game, it seems like you pretty much got it whether you're in or you're out, and that's the way it's going to be. And that's the way it's going to be permanently, not just kind of. I mean, you might have a couple of wishy-washy guys. You got a Cameron Young. You got an Hideki Matsuyama. You've got a Mito Pereira, Joaquin Neiman, guys who were kind of about it, whether they signed or not, and were intrigued, but then went one way or the other. It's not getting prettier. Let's put it that way. And then, with each wave of signings, you've got this face the music moment for each of the new players. And I think one of the reasons why LIV has done these player conferences, these players' news conferences that they do for their new players in groups, is because they hope to put their players in a situation where they're just not alone on a stage answering the same questions every new player has to answer, or at least gets fed. And they can try to play off of each other with some sense of humor or some way of keeping it light. But I thought there was a really interesting moment in the Harold Varner III news conference yesterday with Bubba Watson. So they put them together because they're on the same team in LIV, even though Bubba's not playing. He's a non-playing captain. So there are five players on the team, four are playing. If the one of the guys on the team this week is a Turk Pettit. And if you're a Turk, you got to feel like your days are numbered because there are five people on your team. You are the fifth wheel. And all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself on the outside looking into this thing. And that's going to continue to happen event by event. But HV3 and Bubba were kind of talking about, and Bubba was really kind of getting into this, about trying to earn world ranking points. And the current LIV talking point is, okay, well, we are going to have to go kind of conspire together to go play Asian tour events, or maybe they go play European tour events, depending on how that arbitration goes, because, and we'll talk about, there's kind of a feeding point, because the BMW PGA Championship is next week. It's the flagship event of the DP World Tour. And the issue with that is that there are 18 LIV players in that field. And the reason they're allowed to play is because of an injunction that was arbitrated through a special body designed for this purpose over in the UK around the Scottish Open, where they said the LIV players could compete in the Scottish Open because they were already eligible as DP World Tour members. So until all of that gets settled, there's really nothing the European Tour can do. They can't kick them out. They can't violate the arbitration order. They can't violate that until they have a final ruling. So they kind of have to just let these guys play. So for a while, for however long this takes for the final ruling to come out, they're going to have to allow DP World Tour eligible players to play in their events. But the focus has largely been from these players, how do we go play Asian Tour events and try to get world ranking points and try to qualify for majors? And Watson's kind of explaining that to whoever asks basically the last question in the rally of this news conference. And Bubba goes on and says, well, how could it be a world ranking if you don't give us world ranking points? You know, look at our field. It's not representative of the best players in the world. And I do believe there's an argument to be made about that. But there are also very clearly defined rules about the official World Golf Ranking, how many years you have to operate tournaments, that you have to have 72 holes, you have to average 75 players in your field, you have to meet a lot of different requirements that LIV just simply doesn't meet. So, yeah, you might say that LIV acquiring 26 of the top 100 players in the world is a tremendous feat, 12 of the world top 50, tremendous feat, they should get world ranking points, but there is a system in place that requires certain conditions to be met, and most of the most important ones have not been yet met in terms of duration, field size, tournament duration, I mean, all of it. So you've got Watson talking about, oh, well, it's so sad that we have to go play Asian tour events just to get world ranking points, and they're gonna knock guys out of the top 50 and keep them out of majors, and Harold Varner III, kind of, they're talking about Cam Smith, like, oh, you're number two in the world and you're going to fall precipitously from here, which isn't really true. It's going to take a long time for Cam Smith to fall the world top 50, given the points that he earned for winning the Open Championship. But they're kind of going back and forth on that, riffing a little bit. And then Bubba just kind of turns to Harold Varner III and basically says, they're going to keep you out of the majors because you're going to fall in the top 50 in the world. And they're not going to let you back in. And HV3 is kind of... I think he knew this. I mean, I'm pretty sure he knew this. Or he got colossally bad information. But I'm pretty sure he knew this. And kind of goes, well, yeah, I know. And then says, but we're gonna change a lot of kids' lives. Through, I guess, presumably his foundation. And I guess, to a degree, from the commitments LIV has made to donate $100 million to charity over whatever period of time and all that other stuff. And that's kind of the bit of copium that I think is really interesting. And the whole rally there, the whole little conversation between Varner and Watson, it's radicalization is too strong of a word, but it's a way of convincing yourself that what you did was right, that what you did was proper. And I think that's going to be an increasingly common thing for players who join LIV. It has happened already. It's going to continue to happen because you have this group of 48 players. I mean, really, the players they have signed about 40, I guess all told. But you've got all these players who have been signed, and they've all convinced themselves over time they've done the right thing. The world is against them. They have to rally together. They have to come up with things to bring themselves together. They have to figure out a way to get back in the World Golf Rankings with great races. They have to do all this stuff. And I think that's going to make this harder. And it's there's always been this argument from LIV folks that, you know, we should have just gotten along. We could have just gotten along. And that was never going to happen, by the way. But this exacerbates it. And it's by design, by the way. It wasn't meant to be friendly. It was never meant to be friendly. It was meant to be like this. It was meant to be us versus them, LIV versus everybody else, because they knew the consequences for players of taking the sounding money. And that's where this is going to kind of go and remain. Again, in these factions, these fractures may last for the rest of their careers. And I guess we'll find that out years from now. But that's kind of my other big thing for today, starting to kind of look through and assess where players are at and how they cope with the realities of what they're leaving behind, but the realities of also what they're getting. And we'll see some more of that this week at the International in Bolton, Massachusetts. It is not Boston. All right, last thing for today, TV schedule for the week. We'll give that for you on Thursdays as the tournament week starts. We got a full slate this week. We've got the Maiden Himmerland, we've got the Dana Open, and we've got the Korn Ferry Tour Championship. We also have LIV streams starting on Friday. I think it's 1 p.m., 1:15 p.m. That's all on YouTube or Facebook. But for the Golf Channel stuff, Maiden Himmerland every morning, 7 a.m. on Thursday, Friday, 7:30 a.m. on the weekend. Goes for about 5 hours for both of those, five and a half hours. Kicking into the Dana Open on the LPGA Tour just outside Toledo, Ohio from 1 to 4 p.m. each and every day. Same time slot all 4 days. And then the Korn Ferry Tour Championship from Victoria National Golf Club in Newburgh, Indiana. Not that far from French Lick. And place I've played, it's one of the most difficult golf courses I've ever played in my life. But it's 4 to 7 p.m. each day on Golf Channel as well. And it's also available on Peacock. So if you don't have a Golf Channel, you can watch it on Peacock. I don't think you need a subscription for that based on kind of how the tour described it, but it could be wrong there. All right, that's going to do it for us today on this edition 2 of the First. Thank you so much for listening. Please give us a review if you have a chance. 5 stars would be appreciated, but honesty is also appreciated. You can follow me on your favorite social media service at the handle Ryan Ballingy or Golf News Net. Either way, you'll find me tweeting or talking or taking pictures or something like that. And thanks for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow.